Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In 1985, Irma Bombach wrote a wildly popular book entitled, If Life is a Bowl of Cherries, How Come I'm Always in the Pits? I never read the book, but I like the title. The problem with that question is in the premise. Because you see, we do not live in a bowl of cherries. That is what God intended. That is God's design. That is exactly the way God set things up. But we rebelled against that. We rejected that. We turned our backs on that. That's pretty much what Genesis chapter 3 is all about. You know, that whole story of Adam and Eve and the fall. As a consequence, life is not a bowl of cherries. Life is lived in the pits. Life is not lived on the mountaintop of God's love and holiness and righteousness. It is lived in the valley of sin and death and turmoil. We are a fallen people who live out our lives in a fallen place. Of course, that was also true in biblical times. And I think then people were even more sensitive to that, even more aware of that, and they often lived out their lives in hope of intervention, that God would send the Savior, the Messiah, the Shepherd, into our valley to heal and to bless. Today we are celebrating the second Sunday of Advent, and of all the Sundays, this is by far the most diverse. There are a lot of varying themes that run through this second Sunday, but one of them is that very theme. Living in the valley, but the Shepherd coming to heal, to bless, to give us comfort and peace. Our text for today is the psalm appointed for today. It's Psalm 23, and it reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Words spoken by one living in the valley about the shepherd who makes all the difference living in the valley. First of all, we celebrate these words because it means that Jesus is the shepherd of the valley of sin. The shepherd of the valley of sin. Sin. Not a very popular word anymore. Not a very common word, even in the church. In fact, if you were to go into a Christian bookstore and survey the top best-selling books, hardly any of them would even mention the word. If you look at the most popular hymns written in the last 100 years or so, the word never even comes up. It's not a concept we're very comfortable with anymore. Today, we tend to talk about, you know, I'm okay, you're okay. Or maybe I'll tolerate you if you tolerate me. Sin just isn't something we mention. Perhaps the closest we come is speaking of the unfortunate choices we make. But the Bible speaks of sin boldly. clearly and speaks of it universally. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says no one is righteous. No, not even one. No one understands. No one seeks God. For all have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. For all have sinned and fall short. That's what the Bible says. And the people in Jesus' day not only seemed to be aware of that, but were willing to confess that. In our own time, I think we've just become so accustomed to it, almost immune to it all. I remember in seminary days, I had this friend who grew up on a dairy in Minnesota. He mentioned that the house he grew up in was right smack dab in the middle of the dairy, and he said that while it was a nice house, it stunk. It smelled terrible there. The thing is, he had lived his whole life there, and he never smelled a thing. He was not at all aware of the stink until he invited one of his friends to come over and play, or perhaps his class to come to the birthday party, and no one showed up because they said it stunk. Well, the Bible says sin stinks. And it makes us stink. I think in our more honest moments, in those rare honest moments, we're aware of this. All we have to do is look in the newspaper, and we become aware that sin is a reality, that we live in a fallen world. We live in a valley where sin is very operative. Think San Bernardino. But perhaps we come to grips best when we don't look at the newspaper at what others are doing, but when we look in the mirror and examine ourselves. And it doesn't just stink. It kills. Sin is lethal. The Bible says the result of sin. Now, folks, that's the bad news we realize. But the good news is Jesus is the shepherd of the valley of sin. Jesus comes into our depression. Jesus comes into our pit. Jesus comes into our valley with grace and mercy and forgiveness. The Bible says, everyone who believes in Christ receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. 1 John 1:9 promises, if we confess our sins, God is faithful, and he will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians 1:7 promises, in Christ we have the forgiveness of all our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And the Apostle John wrote, my little children, when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the sins of the entire world. Good news for those of us who live in the valley of sin, because Jesus is the shepherd of the valley, coming with mercy and grace. Forgiveness in his wings. But Jesus is not only the shepherd of the valley of sin, he's also the shepherd of the valley of death. Death. Our text says, even though we walk through the valley of death. Death is another word we don't talk about much anymore. Doesn't even come up in the church much. Once again, survey the most popular Christian books written in the last 50 years or so. The topic never even comes up. Survey the hymns, the Christian songs written in the last century or so. The topic never even comes up. Particularly true for us baby boomers. After all, as one of our great prophets sung to us all, we are forever young. But death is real. And deep down inside, we know that. And it is not just some future reality. There's a present tense element to it. There is a sense in which we are already dead. Kind of like zombies. You know, physically alive, going through all the motions, you know, eating and drinking and moving about. Sometimes busy, sometimes way too busy, but sometimes that's all it is. Just busy. Just eating, just drinking, just going through the motions of every day. There's no life there. There's nothing inside there. People spending their time biting each other. Death is a reality. Good news is, Jesus is the shepherd of the valley. Jesus comes into our valley with healing in his wings. The Bible says the result of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Jesus said his mission deals with just this. He said, I have come that you may have life. Abundant life here. An eternal life hereafter. It is his reason for being here. He comes into our valley, our pit, our depression, with mercy and grace, with his gift of life. Jesus is also the shepherd of the valley of trouble, of turmoil, of problems. The kind of trouble we get ourselves into, the sort of trouble that is our own fault, and the kind of trouble that is no fault of our own, but that simply falls upon us because we live in this valley, this broken world. People offer very little help. People may say, we just got to tough it out. Or people may say, you just need to hang in there. One day at a time. They offer extremely little stuff. They may say, you know, steer stuff happens, just try not to step in it. Surprisingly little help. But there is good news. Because Jesus is the shepherd of the valley of turmoil. Problems, hardships, injustices. He restores our soul. He leads us beside cool waters. He leads us to fields of green grass. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. Notice, please, the shepherd does not come to take us out of the valley. He comes to be with us in the valley. He comes to stand with us as we walk through this valley. The ancient Jews had a word for this concept, and the word was shalom. Shalom. Very common word among the Jews. The Jews used that as a greeting, a kind of hello. They also use that as a parting, a kind of goodbye. Shalom. It's a Hebrew word for peace, but not the kind of peace you usually think of. It's a kind of peace that comes not when something is missing, but the kind of peace that comes when something is present. Understand the difference. It's not the kind of peace that comes because something isn't there. It's the kind of peace that comes because something is there. Someone is there. The shepherd is there. The shepherd of the valley in which we find ourselves. The early Christians picked up exactly the same thought. They too had that concept of peace. They just translated the word from Hebrew into Latin, so it became pax. For 400 years, that's how Christians greeted each other, with pax. For 400 years, that's how Christians departed from each other, with the word pax. It meant, may peace fall upon you, upon me, upon us. The kind of peace that comes not because something is missing, something is absent, but the kind of peace that comes because something is present in the midst of it all. That's what King David is writing. Even though I walk through the valley, even though I walk through the valley, I fear nothing. Some years ago, a congregation was ready to build their new sanctuary, a great big facility, nice facility. They were in the planning stages of all of that, meeting with the architect. And they said that in the entryway, they wanted this big mural that would greet people when they came to this church, a big mural that would convey this idea of peace. And the architect suggested that they incorporate the local artistic community. That they reach out to all the artists of the county and ask them for submissions of what that mural should be. A lot of them decided to participate. Almost all of them came up with the same idea, varying sort of thoughts of, you know, a mother holding a sleeping baby, that kind of thing. None of them had a clue what they were talking about. Just one artist, who suggested that this mural be a loud, dangerous, destructive waterfall. And in the midst of that loud, rushing waterfall, a branch protruding from the cliff, and on the end of that branch, a clump of green leaves. And in the midst of that clump of green leaves, a nest of confident birds. That's what our text is talking about. In the midst of the waterfall. In the valley. In the pit. In the fallen world. There is peace. Shalom. Pax. The peace that passes understanding, as the Apostle Paul. Even though I walk through the valley, I fear nothing. His rod and his staff, they Jesus is the shepherd of the valley of turmoil. He comes into the valley with mercy, with grace, with strength. Good news for those of us who live our lives in the valley. Because Jesus is the shepherd of the valley. He comes into the valley of sin with mercy and grace and forgiveness. And he comes into the valley of death with mercy and grace and life. And he comes into the valley of turmoil with mercy and grace and strength. And the result is comfort, peace. Shalom. Pax. The peace that passes understanding. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.